Have you struggled with an inactive or sedentary lifestyle? Do you want to start running, but you think you're too old, too overweight, too out of shape, and slow as? Well then, my friend, you are in the right place, because we know that you have questions, and we, well, we've got answers. Some people call it running for dummies. We just like to call it run training for non-runners. So get up, it's time to run. This is the First Mile Podcast. What's up, and welcome aboard the First Mile Podcast. My name is Brent. His name apparently is El Gingerino.
What's up, everybody?
Otherwise known as Mr. Scott Ellis.
16 What's seconds it took for you to start laughing hard enough that you actually had to bend out of frame.
So. Yeah. Oh my
God. I always try to get you right. What's going on, man? The record button, so that we start with.
Yeah, and it usually work.
Yeah, oh, it's God. Usually something inappropriate that we actually have to cut out of the recording anyway. So, right.
What's up, everybody?
we're just lucky this podcast is not in video format.
I think it'd be better. I think we're gonna double our numbers when we go video.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. Oh, yeah, so yeah, them will actually have 12 people listening to the podcast.
Right.
Oh yeah, what's going on, my man?
Nothing, just plugging along. How you been?
Oh, you know, doing all right, man. Doing all right. Got a little warm last weekend. Now it's cooling back off. Went for a nice little run today.
Nice.
Nice. Doing okay. Doing all right.
Nice.
What you got going on? Anything good?
I live a very boring life. I wish every time we have the talk, I always want to be like, I went and did this great thing since I saw you last. I'm like, I sat on the couch, did some homework.
I live a very boring life, said the guy who on the last two episodes had a Roomba go through dog poop and drag it all throughout the house, and then followed that up the next week with this hideous rash. Yeah, you live a boring life. Oh, the Ellis household sounds like there is always something going on.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, it's one of those that, you know, every day there's always something just bat crap crazy going on out there. And
right.
Eventually you kind of expect it. So, you know, to me, a boring life is excitement for other people. But
things are fairly chill this week. There don't seem to be any huge crisis or major disasters going on at the moment. So all is good in the Ellis household,
which makes me scared that it's coming. So right. If you see me like frantically just eyes darting around the room, a little paranoid.
Right. Oh yeah. It's the calm before the storm. Right.
No, I got my, my little, nugget of a puppy locked into her kennel on the other side of the room. So if you hear whimpering from 8 rooms away.
Gotcha. The dog is not happy.
The dog's fine. She's just a spoiled little brat.
There you go.
Yeah. She has a fresh diaper on. So nice. The Roomba's turned off. I was able to get a good cocktail poured before we started. So all is right in the world.
And you're rocking the sleeveless shirt and the headband. You get in a workout before the podcast?
I did.
Nice.
Got a little, I got a little recovery ride going on today. I had a pretty, I want to say a harder run last night. So my legs were still a little toasty. So I just wanted to spin them out a little bit.
Yeah. We talked, we talked a couple weeks ago, I think, about running. Like we did a would you rather on running in the wind or running uphill or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I ran 2 days ago, or it was earlier this week, literally just straight into a 30 mile an hour wind the entire time. Dude, it was horrible. It was so horrible.
I went and did a run last night, and it was basically a 5 mile run. And the whole idea was I had to keep in my zone one heart rate. So, you know, pretty easy, sustainable, the kind of heart rate that you're going to keep for like a marathon level pace. But the whole idea is I had to keep kind of negative split. So every mile I had to be faster than the last mile, but not getting so fast that I was getting where I couldn't sustain it. Nice, easy heart rate pace. Not paying attention. I took out running, and my first 2 or 3 miles, I was downhill, tailwind. I'm like, God, I'm running fast. My heart rate's low. I feel great. Then I turned around and just smacked in the chest with running uphill, headwind. I'm obviously, I'm not a tiny dude. I'm just a kite in this. I'm like, speed's going to drop down and my heart rate's going to spike up because I'm just leaning 45 degrees into this run uphill. All right, well,
yeah,
this was fun for the first half.
Yeah, that run in the wind the other day was it just sucked. Oh my God, I'm so glad that weather's gone.
Now, I would much rather run in the wind than bike in the wind. We went biking last weekend.
Yeah.
I caught a little crosswind and big boy went down into a big group and it was.
Oof. Oh, that's not good.
Yeah. Yeah. Crosswind at 30 miles an hour. What was not a pretty sight.
Yikes. Yeah, that's not good. Oh,
but well, other than that, nothing new.
Well, now that you have the update on El Gingerino's world and Brent's world, I guess we could get to a little bit of business.
We can get to a little bit of business today.
We have an email address here at the First Mile Podcast. I think if I remember correctly, I believe it is it the First Mile Podcast or just First Mile Podcast?
The First Mile Podcast.
It is the First Mile Podcast at gmail.com.
Emails are rolling in. Feedback's coming in. So please, by all means, keep it coming. Let us know what you want to hear, what you think about what we said, new topics, feedback on topics. If you want pictures of Brent's new haircut, let us know.
If you'd like to see the podcast in video format, let us know. If we have enough requests for that, we may try to make that happen. Yeah. That would be interesting.
That'll be an interesting one. We'll stream that one. So you want pictures of an incontinent bulldog puppy? We'll get you those too. you can see Brent's awesome cover band. Whatever you guys want, you reach out to us. We'll get you covered.
Don't be mocking group therapy.
I'm not mocking it. What are you talking about? I'm going to be, once you guys start doing open shows, I'm going to be your lead groupie.
No lie, dude. Group therapy is a kick-ass band. It's a ton of fun. Not going to lie.
Dude, I'm going to be front and center of the stage. Throwing my undergarments up on stage.
So yeah.
Fresh Brent's off a run, nice and sweaty.
Brent's life outside of the First Mile Podcast, playing in his band Group Therapy.
Does playing in a rock and roll cover band in your 50s, does that come with a little red sports car, or do you have to get that separately?
That does come separately.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
And it also usually comes with some assembly required. Oh my God. Okay. So yeah, before we dive into Brent's midlife crisis, let's jump into a little business.
All right.
We have a little game that we like to play here at the First Mile Podcast before each and every episode. We play a little game of Would You Rather? So I got one for you, Scott.
I'm hoping so.
Neither one of these look too fantastic, but we're gonna give it a spin anyhow.
Those are the best ones. Here. I don't like a clear cut answer. I don't like a clear cut winner. That's boring. So,
Scott,
hit me.
Would you rather run with a blister on your heel?
Oh God, I already don't like where this is going.
Or run with a side stitch or a cramp.
Ooh,
the entire time. Blister or side stitch? Choice is yours.
Oh, God. I am gonna say. I'm gonna say a side stitch. I think I'd rather run with a side stitch.
Scott chooses cramp over blister.
I'll run with abdominal pain over foot pain. Yeah. You know what? I'm one of those guys. I'm a firm believer of, you know, take care of your feet first, you know, above all, because I've had my feet just go awry in races. And, you know, there's a, you talk about, you know, John Wooden, an old, you know, legendary coach, you know, coached at UCLA for, you know, 150 years. And he had a whole premise that literally his first practice of the season every year, he would take these college freshmen, college sophomores, and the first thing he would teach them was how to put on their shoes and socks the right way. Because foot care was important to make sure that your shoes fit the right way, your socks were on the right way, you didn't get blisters, because a blister is going to sideline you a lot quicker than you would think on something stupid where you can get an infection and all this. And so reading a couple of his books, it was like, wow, I need to make sure I'm taking better care, make sure you're in a good shoe, you know, all that stuff. So I am kind of, I'm kind of anal about making sure my feet are covered. And like, you know, when I go through races or training runs, you see people like spraying the hose to cool you off in the middle of the Phoenix desert. I will go out of my way to not do that, because the last thing I want to do is get my feet wet and run. Like, you know,
right.
I don't want somebody spraying with a hose or spill water on my shoes. It's just the worst feeling in the world. So I would rather have a gut stitch where I can just, you know, writhe with a stomach cramp than have a blister on my foot. Oh God.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go side stitch as well. Cause, and the reason I think is because usually even a side stitch, you can at least sort of semi-treat it, like, you know, during your run.
You kind of stretch. For the most part, you can still keep a normal stride. You know?
Right. It's just super uncomfortable. But even a blister, dude, a blister is extremely painful. And then they last for days afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just a disaster. And I'm just like, neither choice is good, right? They're both terrible choices. But I think if I had to choose, I would have to go side stitch, side cramp over blister. I just the blister thing is just too much. Can't do it.
Oh yeah, too big of a baby. I am, at least.
So what would you do? Would you rather run with a blister on your heel or run with a side cramp the entire time? Let us know. We'd be curious. thefirstmilepodcast@gmail.com. Your participation in Would You Rather is greatly appreciated.
Come on, I want to hear it. All right. So done with our intros, done with our business, done with our Would You Rather.
Scott's eager, man. Scott's ready to dive in.
I am rocking and rolling. Like I said, I gotta get the podcast done before my house collapses around me, apparently.
What's funny is Scott's ready to completely dive into this podcast. We have no idea what we're talking about.
Well, we have a topic, but you know, it's not like we're any kind of experts on it, and we usually pander. You know, we make it sound like we're talking. I like to BS and chew the fat.
So
Brian, what are we talking about tonight?
Have we actually decided on a topic?
So tonight? I say, before we were on air, Brent and I were teetering back and forth on 12 topics we wanted to talk about. Now that we're 12 minutes in. So
yeah, we're 12 minutes into this episode and we still don't know what we're talking about.
So, you know, I think I wanted to kind of go down a path of, for a lot of our runners that are getting started, you know, one of the common themes that we're going to run back and forth with on this podcast, because it's a common theme that all the runners come and talk to us about, is kind of that idea of measuring yourself up against, you know, appropriate levels of what your goals can be, or, you know, the people who want to compare themselves to this idealistic, you know, runner that they think they should be, or what being a runner really is, and being able to realize where you're at, how to get better, and what to kind of appropriately think is good progress to make. And just that whole idea that 1% better each day, and not trying to go from zero to Olympic runner in a 2-week window. So, Brendan, I know you were kind of talking on your Rookie Runners Academy. I'm gonna kind of put the ball in your court first on some of the stuff that you were talking about on your other recordings, and kind of let you lead the way.
Well, I mean, there's I don't know, maybe we can kind of tie them, maybe find a way to tie the two together. You know, I think there's some areas where brand new runners have a tendency to struggle a little bit. And one is kind of how they look at themselves, right? How they actually view themselves. And another area where, you know, what we were kind of talking about earlier is kind of managing expectations, if you will. I think runners come in and they think, well, I'm going to start this and I should just be seeing these massive gains and these huge results like right out of the gate, right? And it doesn't always work that way. And so one of the things that Scott and I had talked about was the idea of being better than yesterday, right? And again, it's about managing expectations. I think a lot of new runners, when somebody gets started on a new fitness program or like a new running program, as you kind of really start to dive into your running journey and your fitness journey, a lot of people I think are really excited. You know, they're really motivated to get out there and to really dive into this change and this new thing that they want to try, to really try to make improvements in their life. And I think a lot of times people kind of fall into this false expectation that they're just going to see these huge gains. Like, I'm going to start running and 2 weeks from now, I will have lost, you know, 30 pounds. I'm going to be running 5 miles and it's going to be amazing and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, and it doesn't always work out that way. Mm-hmm. And that's not realistic. And I think one of the things one of the conversations I always try to have with brand new people and people are just getting started, it sort of centers around that idea of not just managing your expectations, but it's like, look, this is the idea. And we've said this before on previous episodes. The idea behind this whole thing is we are going to start short. We're going to start slow. And we are going to build from there. And this is going to be a process, right? And it's going to take time and it's going to require patience. And you're not going to see huge gains from day to day. But the idea being that all you want to do is, by getting out there and doing it and making it happen every day and developing a certain level of consistency in your training, you just want to make yourself better than you were yesterday, right? And if you can run for 30 seconds longer, right? Or if you run a quarter of a mile longer than you did before, right? You're making progress. And as long as you're making any kind of positive progress, no matter how small the gain may be, that is a sign of improvement. And that is a sign that you are making yourself better. And with each tiny little improvement and with each small step in the right direction, you are making yourself better than you were yesterday. And that's the entire premise of this whole thing. It's knowing and understanding that you're not going to see those huge results on a day-to-day basis. Those will come with time, but you need to understand that just by getting out there each and every day and developing consistency, you are actually making yourself better each and every day. Mm-hmm. And that may not be tangible or visible to you yet, but you need to understand and trust that that's actually happening.
Right.
Does that make sense?
I think it does, but... Yeah, we and you have had this talk enough times.
You know, I really do. And I think a lot of that ties into, and we've talked on other podcasts before, and I know we're at some point we're going to go into a little more detail on this topic. But I think a lot of that goes back into goal setting and, you know, talking to yourself about what you're going to expect, whether it's your goals for, you know, I want to be able to run a mile in, you know, by this date, or I want to run a 5K by this date, or even if it's what your goal is for today's workout. And I think that's a big one that I see a lot of new athletes kind of get, they overlook, and they go out and I know I fall into this category. I mean, I've been doing this for 15 years and I still have to, you know, catch myself on this mindset is I'm going to get on the treadmill and I want to do a 2 mile run. And every time I'm doing a 2 mile run on the treadmill, I want to say, okay, I got to beat it. I want to shave off 2 seconds from my last treadmill, my last 2 mile run. Or, you know, if I'm, you know, I want to get there and in 20 minutes, I want to run a 10th of a mile further than I did last time, whatever it may be. And being able to say, I need to look at the bigger picture, being able to sit back, but look at what's my goal for today's workout. Why am I running today? Why am I doing the distance I'm doing today? why am I doing the route that I'm doing today? Why am I doing an inside run versus a treadmill run? What am I hoping to get out of just this one run today? And I think when we kind of sit back and be able to look back and we say, okay, what's this one goal for today? We can kind of pull ourselves out of that, you know, that ideology of we need to be this 5K runner that's doing 5K in sub 15 minutes, that's, you know, lightning fast and podium at a finish, but being able to say, I'm not worried about that. I want to kind of live in the moment and I want to say, what's my goal for the next 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it may be.
Right.
And I think when we start kind of setting those, getting better at setting short-term goals and, or just setting them in general, being honest with ourselves, I think that's a great way for us to be able to see those gains day to day, week to week, month to month, and be able to kind of pull our focus a little bit more from, I'm not a runner until I can do this. I'm not a real runner until I can do, you know, 2 miles in under 20 minutes. I'm not a real runner until I can run a 5K without stopping. And getting away from that kind of toxic mentality of, you know, screw that noise. I am. And here's how I know I'm going to win today. I'm going to win this workout by doing this one thing. And I'm doing this for this reason. I don't need this to be a sprint workout. I don't need to hammer down and go, how fast can I run my 1 mile today? Unless that's, you know, if that's your goal, great. But saying, okay, maybe I want to look at going longer. So I need to, it's okay for me to run slower because I want to look at going longer. It's okay for me to go slower because my goal today is to work on my form. It's okay for me to go because I want to work on my nutrition when I run. And being able to kind of dial those components in, being smart enough to and having the discipline for ourselves to say, that's what I'm working for today. Those are my goals. And because I can facilitate those changes, that's what's going to make me better than I was yesterday. Because so many of us, we look at, I want to be better than yesterday. I want to be better than I was a week ago. And we look at basically two metrics. How fast did I run? How far did I run? And that's it. And those are the only two things we look at. And being able to say, there's so much more to running. There's so much more to working out. There's so much more to fitness than just how fast and how far. And knowing, okay, my goals are to adjust some of those. Maybe it's, I want to do this with, you know, I want to be able to make this run and not feel like I'm going to die at the end. Not feel like I have that side stitch. You know, I want to do this and enjoy it. I want to do this and have, you know, not feel like I'm going to vomit. All these type of sensations. And kind of talking ourselves into those. And I think that's a good way for runners to be able to have the right mindset of and acknowledge, am I better than I was yesterday? How can I get there? And it's a little bit easier to kind of see the forest from the trees.
Right. And I want to, I'm making a note.
I see you frantically making notes as I talk, which usually means I've talked too much and overshot.
No, not at all. Because what I'm doing is I'm making a quick note of things that I want to address, mm-hmm. because you actually said there's a lot of good stuff in there that I kind of want to pull out of there. It's like I think you're correct in that when, as new runners, as people who are just getting started, we want to be able to see actual gains.
Right.
We want to be able to see that because in our minds, we want to know that we're making progress. And to your point, a lot of people, what they're looking for is they are looking specifically for gains in either time or distance, right? They measure their gains in either, okay, I was able to run farther than I did yesterday, or I was able to run 30 seconds faster than I did yesterday. Those have a tendency to be the two main things that people, that new runners especially, have a tendency to look at. And those are the two things that they use to gauge progress. But to your point, there are so many other things that you can look at and that you can make observations of to show yourself that you're actually making progress and to show yourself that you are improving and that you are better than yesterday. For example, let's say, you know, you go out and, you know, say you run the exact same distance in the exact same time that you did, say, for the last, you know, 4 or 5 days.
Okay.
So in other words, when you get back from your run, your distance hasn't changed. Your time isn't faster than it was 5 days ago. Mm-hmm. But when you're finished, you're not breathing as hard. You feel fresher. You feel more energized. You don't feel like you're gonna die. Whereas a week ago when you were doing this run, you were completely gassed, out of breath, thought you were gonna die. So even though you haven't necessarily seen any gains in terms of time or distance, that distance and that time that you're running is getting easier.
Right.
Which means you're making progress. Right, which means that you are improving, your fitness is improving, you're getting stronger, and you are making gains. And there's little things like that that people can learn to track and observe in order to see that they're actually making progress. Because new runners, I think, especially, you know, as people are getting started, they have a tendency to think, they look at themselves and they say, look, I'm not running any farther than I did, say, 5 days ago. I'm not running any faster than I was last week. I'm not making any progress. What's wrong with me? What's mm-hmm. happening? Okay, well, maybe that's the case. But if it's getting easier for you, you're clearly getting stronger and you're clearly getting fitter. So next week is probably where you're going to start seeing some gains in terms of time and distance, mm-hmm. right? But it's those little improvements that people, a lot of newer athletes don't think to look for. And so they get super frustrated, they get super angry, and they think that they're either doing something wrong or they just suck at this, and then they're just going to give up because they're not seeing the progress that they think that they should be seeing.
Right.
And that's just kind of the general concept that we want to try to get across tonight. It's just there are different ways of measuring progress and making yourself better than you were yesterday, other than simply measuring time and distance.
Right.
You know, and there's also a massive caveat and kind of a danger zone, if you will, of measuring workout to workout to workout. Because
Correct.
It doesn't matter whether it's your first week running or if you've been doing it for 20 years, we're all going to have a terrible day of working out with that. You know, there's days that I feel good. I get up, good breakfast, I stretch, I feel good. I have energy. I slept well the night before. I get some good music in my headphones. I go out, find my favorite course, and I get like 15 minutes in and I'm like, dude, I am struggling. I'm like head between my knees at a pace slower than what I normally go. And there's no reason for it. There's no rhyme or reason. Just, yep. It's just a bad day. So also being able to say, okay, I can't compare myself one day versus the next. And knowing that, like any type of thing, you want to, you kind of have to throw out the extremes, because there's going to be a day that you're going to have one of those, just everything clicks. Your heart rate's low, energy's high, you hit your stride, you got good music in, you're cruising it, and you're going to basically set a PR run. You know, you're going to say, I'm going to go out, I'm going to do a 5K. I'm going to do a 3 mile run, and and you just feel great. And you're like, I just hit a time. I ran that 5K better than I've ever run anything before. That was my fastest time. I felt good. I didn't hate my life. I didn't want to throw up. I didn't feel bad. I felt good. I felt like I could have kept going. Guess what? You're probably not going to hit that again the next time you go run, because that was one of those, just a good day. Everything just clicks.
Right.
You're going to have those good days, just like you're going to have days on the that pendulum's going to swing the other day. So, you know, you can't get too high in your good runs. You can't get too low on your bad runs. And, you know, it kind of, I've heard a couple other coaches and a couple other people talk about this idea. And I think it actually puts it into a really good perspective when we start looking at kind of the growth of yourself as an athlete. They compare it to weather. Okay. So Brent, pop quiz. What is the difference between weather and climate? So if we talk about the weather of Phoenix versus the climate of Phoenix, what's the difference?
Well, the weather changes from day to day. The climate is essentially overall,
right?
Like say over the course of a year,
right?
Right. This is typically what the climate looks like over the course of the year. Whereas the weather is literally like a 3 day, 5 day or 7 day outlook.
Exactly.
Kind of
it's right. Tomorrow is going to be cold and windy.
Right.
Is But, you know, tomorrow, I think the high tomorrow is like 62 degrees and windy and possibly rainy.
But is that typical of the climate of Phoenix?
Yeah, when you think of Phoenix, do you think of 62 degrees, you know, windy and rainy? No. Absolutely not. The climate here is hot, warm, and dry.
Correct.
And that's it. You're going to have a day of spring. But if we look at the weather of this weekend, we go, that's not the climate. That's a one-off day. You kind of have to think you're training the same way. You know what?
Yes.
We're going to have the days where it's great weather. We're going to have the days where it's crap weather. The climate of Arizona, somewhere in between. Same with your running. You know what? You're going to have the runs where it's the 70-degree day, no wind, perfect. You know, it's weather to sit on a beach at and just, or, you know, spring training, have a beer, watching the baseball game outside. And you're going to have the runs that are the equivalent of the 120 degrees, 40 mile an hour winds, dust storm days. Neither one of those are your norm. You can't compare yourself to that. So when you look at, are you better than yesterday? Are you comparing where you are today or even your workout yesterday? Are one of those two either the high or the low? Or are you comparing climate to climate? Or are you comparing weather to weather? And I think that's when we start kind of thinking it that way. That was one of those kind of, you know, the light switch flipped and I went, okay, that kind of makes it a little more easier to comprehend, you know, for the way my messed up brain works, you know, of just kind of a way to look at how to mentally compare yourself to where you were yesterday, a week ago, a month ago, a year ago.
Well, and it's funny because that's exactly the next point that I wanted to make was
stealing your thunder today, baby.
Right, we totally stealing my thunder today. But it's like it's the mental side of it. And that's yet another way that you can gauge progress and another way to know that you are getting better than you were yesterday. Because let's say the course of a week goes by and we'll go back to the same example. Let's say the course of a week has gone by. You're not running any farther than you did a week ago. You're not running any faster than you did a week ago. But maybe, you know what? Maybe now, 7 days in or 2 weeks in, you are just in a much better place mentally and you are feeling way better about this thing. Because when you first started, you hated it. This was drudgery. This was work. You didn't think you were going to be able to do it and you completely hated it. But now your mental state has changed. You're able to look at it from a different perspective, you're feeling better, you're feeling more confident because now you're actually out there and you're doing it and you're taking action and you're in a better place mentally as it relates to running and as it relates to, you know, actually getting started on your fitness journey. So that in and of itself is making progress and is making you better than yesterday because you are in a much better in a much better place in your mind and you're in a much better mental state than you were say a week ago. So that's progress.
Right.
And again, it's another way to measure progress and it's another way to show yourself that you are getting better than you were yesterday even though it's not manifesting itself in longer distances or faster times. Right?
Right.
And so the mental side of it is it's just another way for you to kind of gauge, you know, to gauge progress. Just one of those little things that people don't think about and they don't think to look for in terms of getting better.
Right. I'm saying it, yeah, then that's where we start seeing that's kind of what we're going to hammer home is, you know, getting better is there's so many components of what can be better. You know, it's not just speed and distance. It's not just that. So, you know, those are some of those things that, you know, I always like to tell people is I get my athletes that, you know, like I can't seem to get past this wall or I can't break this time frame. And I'm like, okay, great. But guess what? You're going to do a 5K, you know, you're going to run 3 miles in training. You're going to do it 4 days in a row. A month ago, if you ran a 5K at that time, you were going to need 3 days to recover because your legs were cooked. You know what? Maybe your recovery is getting better. Maybe your form is getting better. Maybe your energy conservation is getting better. All these things.
Right. And I didn't, and to be honest with you, it's like, I didn't even think of those. Those are yet even more areas where, you know, you can show that you're getting better. Like you just said, you're recovering faster, right? You get back. It's like when you first started, you got back and you were torched, right? You were sore for days.
Right.
You could hardly walk. But now you're recovering much faster. You're ready for your next workout the next day. You know, so just from a rest and recovery standpoint, that's improvement. And, you know, again, showing that you're getting better, you're getting stronger, you're getting fitter. And it's those, I forgot what the other one was that you just said. It was recovering faster and there was something else. I don't remember. But it's just, but it's those little things, right? It's those, it's almost like the intangibles.
Right.
They're the things that people don't think to look at or think to measure, but yet those things actually show progress and will actually prove to you that you are better than you were yesterday, that you are better than you were last week. And that's why we wanted to do this. It's because these are all these little things that people just don't think about outside of time and distance.
Right. You know, and I'll, you know, give you an example of that. And, you know, and we've talked about this before, and it's one of those kind of funny anecdotal things that I've gone through. And it just, because it popped into my head, because on my good old Facebook memory showed me that I hit the anniversary like a week ago of this. My first 5K. First 5K I ever did.
The one you trained for like 14 weeks?
I think it was like 16 or 18 weeks. It was,
yeah, you said, yeah, it was like close to 20 weeks,
yeah.
I think.
Oh, yeah. It was not far from like 6 months of training for a 5K. And I was in college. I was putting a six pack of beer down a day. I was eating Taco Bell four meals a day. I was, for what it's worth, I was a great athlete. You know, I had the body of a bowler.
That's right. That's where the Scott Ellis nutrition began.
Oh yeah. I had the fitness of a bowler and the aerobic capacity of a senior golfer. And I trained for this thing. Like I was training for the damn Olympics and ran this 5K and made every rookie mistake in the world. But I came out and I had something we can talk about a lot, that imposter syndrome of, I got to that start line. I was like, I don't belong here. I don't know what's going on. I'm not a runner. I don't know what's going on. Finished the race, ran a 5K, ran 3 miles. Generally, if you run 3 miles, you're going to burn about 400 calories, give or take. About 100 to 150 calories per mile on average.
Correct.
Right. I'm a big dude. Maybe I burned a little bit more. I'll be conservative and say I burned 500 calories. You know, give myself a little credit. I finished that, got across the finish line, collapsed in a heap, and I said, I need food. I earned it. We went to Grimaldi's Pizzeria down the street in Scottsdale, and I put down like a large pizza that had to be 2,000 calories because I earned it with my 400 calorie burning. But it wasn't, but I felt like I needed it. I was starving. I was so hungry. My body needed the salt and it needed the protein and it needed all this stuff to replenish. A month later, I was knocking out a 5K like I do it before work. You know, it was like I'm going to go on an easy run around the house. And, you know, maybe it was a minute or two slower, but I was running the 5K. I was like, you know what? I feel good because, you know what? I can literally finish, and maybe my post-workout is like a Shamrock Rock and Refuel, you know, 12-ounce chocolate milk. And, you know, I start seeing kind of that difference of how well your body tolerates. What do you need for recovery? You know, I ran that 5K and we got food and I like lay down and prop my legs up for a week. A month later, I was like, you know, I'm going to go do this and I'm going to take then I got to go to work. I'm going to go work a 12-hour shift on my feet. And I didn't bat an eye. And it wasn't because I made this big, massive gain, but it was just my body started to acclimate and I started saying, okay, I can see the changes of where I'm trying to get to.
Right. And you have to understand that in and of itself is progress, right? Because like I said,
right,
as you go from day to day, as you go from week to week, what you're going to discover is even things just start to get a little easier because your body starts to adapt, right? Like you're talking about. And it's like anything else in life. It's like the longer you do it, the easier it gets. The hard part is kind of developing at least a little bit of consistency. But once you can start to develop a certain level of consistency, it's when things start to get easier. Mm-hmm. And is when, you know, real progress starts to be right. made. And you will, and I want to make it clear that, you know, as you become more consistent and as you get farther along in your training, you will absolutely see gains in terms of time and distance, right? You will run farther. You will run faster. But to Scott's point earlier, there are going to be days, there are going to be weeks that don't necessarily go according to plan. Life gets in the way. You don't get your runs in. You're not seeing any huge gains in terms of time or distance, but yet you're noticing that when you do get out, when you do run, you're not as tired. You're in a better mental state. You're recovering faster. You just feel better overall. Like you feel healthier. You feel fitter because you're actually, you know, engaging in physical activity. Whereas maybe before you were more sedentary or inactive. And those are just all signs that you're getting better. Right. And those are all signs and indications that you are making yourself better than you were yesterday. And again, not necessarily manifesting itself in time or distance gains, but those gains will absolutely come. But it's going to come with time. It's going to come with patience, and it'll come as you progress, you know, through your program or in your training or whatever it is that you happen to be doing. But those gains will absolutely come.
Right. You know, I'm trying to save myself and save our listeners who really don't want to hear me go off on the tangent of kind of nerding out on the physiology and how long it takes to get the physiological gains to change this and to change that and to build this base, you know, from an aerobic standpoint and from a, you know, VO2 max standpoint and all that fun stuff that nobody wants to hear me nerd out about. But, you know, we can talk for hours on what it takes for your body to actually make these sustainable changes and for you to have the physiological changes in your body. It ain't going to happen overnight and it's going to be slow, but it's always kind of a moving target. And that's the one thing that I want new runners to kind of understand is, you know, if you and your friend both train for a 5K together, you guys are going to have different improvements at different times at different rates. You may have trained and taken a minute per mile off your pace, and your friend took 30 seconds per mile off their pace. But you know what? Maybe they can run 5 miles and you're like, I'm kind of gassed out at 3. Or I hit that point at 6 weeks. It took them 10 weeks. Okay, cool. Great. Your body's always going to kind of adjust with it. And it's kind of a big moving target. And I feel like those expectations sometimes aren't always clear because people say, you know, either that person looks good and I want to be like them and that's, you know, they're a good runner and I got to look like that. Or, you know, I started working out with my friend Bob and me and Bob were both out of shape. We both started it and Bob's kicking my ass right now. So I must be doing something wrong. And that's another big component that I see a lot of times of people not understanding you have to run 8 runs at X number of miles and you're magically going to be at this pace or this speed because everybody's going to adjust and recover and speed up and get longer and get shorter all on different paces. But.
Well, right. And you know, to be honest with you, that in and of itself is an entire
that's a whole different podcast. Yeah.
You know, right. You know, that's an entirely different podcast altogether, but to your point, that is one of the things that you have to understand is that when you are looking for gains, when you are looking for progress, when you are looking to essentially be better than you were yesterday, you cannot be trying to, justify your gains by comparing it with someone else. Because to Scott's point, everyone adapts differently. Everyone's body is different. Everybody comes from a different place and has a different story, right? So in the example that Scott was just giving, you know, if you're training with your friend Bob, right? And you're both just kind of getting started. Well, maybe Bob has a history of you know, some kind of physical activity, maybe excelled in another sport, but maybe running itself is new to him, right? Some people are just, you know, they're just more physiologically, you know, blessed. It's a genetic thing, right? Some people just naturally adapt faster to certain things than other people do. For some people, it's super easy. For other people, it just takes longer and it takes more work. I can't explain it. I don't know why that is. It's a genetic thing. But you can't be looking, you know, you can't be telling yourself that you're not making gains, that you're not seeing strides, that you're not getting any better because this other person is so far ahead of you. That's completely irrelevant. And trying to compare your gains to theirs is a giant waste of time. Because as long as you're seeing any improvement and any gain at all, and it doesn't have to be anywhere close to the gains of somebody else, as long as you are seeing individual gains at all, you are getting better,
you
getting
won the
stronger
day.
And getting fitter, yep. And you're making progress. Yeah, you won the day, exactly.
And, you know, and I kind of want to kind of come back to that last point just a little bit, because like we talked about, we can make an entire episode on it. And I want to take this as one of our next episodes we come out with soon, because I think we can really go into some detail on it. And it's that whole idea of kind of comparing yourself to others and the whole idea of the imposter syndrome. I think we can really talk about some good details, but one of the components that I really want to hammer out for some of our people that are looking at trying to be better and kind of setting ourselves on goals and expectations is one of the things that you got to remember that it is in human nature is when we start looking at comparisons, you know, where are we looking at? What are we comparing to? Most of the time we're comparing ourselves to other people's Instagrams, their Facebook. They post their on, you know, here's my Garmin from my last run. I want to see this. And we're thinking, I had a crap run last night. I struggled. Right. And so often, and this happens on, you know, basically every aspect of human behavior. But when we start talking about workouts and running, you're thinking about, you know, your brain's automatically going to try to downplay your abilities, and you're going to think to your bad runs. You're going to say, you know, I'm only running a mile at this, or a 5K at this pace, or I can only run this many miles. And you're comparing your downside to what these people want to broadcast on social media. Because let's face it, we all like to put our good runs, our races, our PR, our personal record runs, our personal best runs. And that's what we're going to show on Facebook and on Instagram and on all these different avenues. How many times do you go through, post, the screenshot from your Garmin or your my fitness pal of your god awful run that you bonked 40% of the way through, you know, 8 blocks in, you're like, oh my god, I got that stitch in my side. It's windy. This sucks. I'm going 30 seconds per mile slower than I usually do. How many times are you gonna post that one and be like, hey, everybody, look at my run?
Well, right. And that's what I was going to say. It's like, okay, so you're checking out Bob's Instagram, right? And Bob's posted his killer run that he had. But what you don't know is that Bob's killer run was 2 weeks ago, and the run that he had last night was complete shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just like,
right.
It was the crap run of his life, but there's no way he's putting that on Instagram because that's not what Bob wants you to see.
Right.
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 And so, yeah, you can't be doing that whole comparison thing, you know, especially on social media, because everything on social media is true. We know that.
That's right. It's saw it on the internet. It's got to be true.
Yeah. Saw it on Instagram. It's got to be true.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous road to go down, and it's like that literally, and we should literally do that, because that in and of itself is an entire podcast episode on the compare game and how you look at yourself versus how you look at other people, and how that, you know, that comparison thing is just a giant waste of time and is not going to make you better in any way, shape, or form. All it's going to end up doing is frustrating you. And causing a lot of anxiety. And so, yeah, we could do it literally an entire episode on that. We probably will.
We're looking at that. We're talking about, you know, be better than yesterday, be 1% better. And the problem is when you start going down that path, you're comparing your today to their yesterday. Right. You're comparing your bad yesterday to their today. And you're like, oh, good God, that's a big, and you're like, but you got to realize, yes, you saw Bob's Instagram of him on the top of a mountain, putting his hands up. Well, there's also, you know, there was 9 runs that Bob didn't show you because Bob didn't want you to. Or here's another one that I always love to see is that I have a guy that I know, and his pictures are not from the same days of the runs that he posts. And I always laugh because I look at him like, you know, the day that here's your run today. I'm like, dude, it was raining today. That picture is bright and sunny. Because you didn't look that refreshed after that. I posted. I had an easy run today. Look how much I'm smiling and I'm not sweating. I'm like, I've seen you run. That was
3 weeks ago.
Yeah, that was 3 weeks ago, buddy. That picture is you at the beach.
Yeah.
So, idiot. You know, you always got to look through that filter that you're going to compare your down days to their good days because. Nobody's going to show off their down days to give you an appropriate barometer of what's quote unquote normal at. So,
well, and the point being is just, the whole idea that we really wanted to get across and the point that we really wanted to stress in this particular episode is I want to encourage all of our new runners to actively try to find ways that they are actually improving.
Right.
Because I guarantee you, if you're getting out there and if you're doing it, right? If you're just simply taking just action,
checking the boxes.
You're getting out there, right? And you're getting out there and you're just doing it. I guarantee you, just by doing that, you are improving in some way, shape, or form. That may manifest itself in farther distances. It may manifest itself in faster times. However, it may not. It may manifest itself like we've been talking about in faster recovery times, in a better mental state. It may just simply be that you, like I said earlier, you just get back from your run and you just feel fresher. You're not out of breath. Even though you didn't do any faster, you just feel stronger and you feel fresher after everyone. That's progress. So there are a billion little things that you can look at in order to remind yourself and show yourself that you're actually making progress. And there are things that you can look at outside of time and distance. And that's really the point that we wanted to make, because I know new runners, those are the two things that they look at. And if they don't see improvement in those two specific areas, they just automatically default to this is not working. I'm super frustrated. I'm not seeing any results. When you actually are seeing results, you just don't know where to look for them.
Right.
And that's what we just wanted to kind of give you some new ideas and new ways and new places where you can look for progress.
Right.
And to show yourself that you're actually getting better, that you are improving, and that you are in fact better than you were yesterday, and that you are better than you were last week. Because if you can't do that, I mean, you're absolutely going to frustrate yourself. And I guarantee you will just drop out and quit at some point if your only barometer is time and distance.
Yeah.
And that's the whole premise for us even being here is we want to try to give you guys sound advice, but we want to provide you with encouragement and motivation and inspiration and to give you ways to show yourself that you can do this and that you're making progress in certain areas where maybe you don't think that you are. So that's really just kind of the point of the whole thing. And I hope that that's helpful. Again, if there's any questions about this, reach out to us because we'd love to open that dialogue with you or have a conversation or answer any questions that you may have about, if you experience frustration, in your training, or if you feel like you're not seeing any progress, we'd love to kind of try to walk you through that. and try to show you some areas where maybe you are actually making some significant progress and you just don't realize it, right? And to Scott's point, I think there's probably going to be some follow-up episodes to this, because I think there's a couple of different directions that we can go from here to kind of supplement this episode and kind of tie those together. So I think there's going to be some really good episodes upcoming, kind of revolving around this particular topic.
And I think this is obviously a topic that's going to hit home to a lot of runners, new runners, experienced runners. I think we've all experienced it. So please reach out to us. Let us know. Are we on the mark with how you feel? Do you have questions about this? Do you agree with it? Do you want to kind of share a horror story, share a success story? Let us know what you're feeling, what you're thinking. Please email us, reach out to us, and let us know kind of your thoughts on this too. You know, and talk to us if you're kind of in this rut, you're like, is that what you're thinking of? Reach out. Let's talk about things that you can look at on your runs, on your workouts, that are not just time and distance, that we can start saying, okay, here's the proofs in the pudding that you are getting better. Here's other metrics that you can look at. So if you have questions, please reach out to us.
Yep, please do. We would love to hear from you. We are kind of up against the clock here.
Bumping up to it.
No, but I think it's been a good episode. It's a good conversation. And, you know, like I said, I really hope that that was valuable, and I hope that that was helpful to you guys. That's what we've got. You got anything else?
I got
Scott?
Nothing.
Are we good?
I got nothing.
All right, man. Well, then with that, I think we will.
My glass is empty, which means it is time to wrap it up.
it's time for a refill. Scott Cage's, the episode must be over when Scott's glass is empty.
Right.
That's awesome.
I try to time it.
it's the one noise we listen for at the end of the podcast.
Listen for that ice cube to clink.
Yeah. All right. Well, we appreciate you guys hanging out with us as usual. And again, if you guys get any value out of this whatsoever, if this is helpful or beneficial to you in any way, we ask that you please, again, just share the First Mile podcast with your friends and fellow athletes. What we're really trying to do here is not only provide good content, but we're really trying to build a community of like-minded new runners, people who are all trying to achieve the same thing. We can't do that without you guys. So we would certainly appreciate you sharing the First Mile podcast, again, with your friends, neighbors, fellow athletes. We would definitely appreciate that. So with that, I guess we will call it good, unless Scott's got anything else.
I got nothing.
Looks like he's probably good, though. All right.
I'm good.
Well, thanks again for everybody for hanging out, and we will catch up with all of you next week.
All right. Y'all stay safe out there.
All righty. We'll see you.
Bye.
Bye.